Welcome, everyone. Welcome. Happy Easter, you guys, and welcome to the Bible from the Beginning to Eternity podcast. I couldn't let this day go by without an Easter message. Happy Easter to everyone. Wherever in the world you are, I hope you have a wonderful and joyful day today with your families, celebrating the risen Jesus and life everlasting. Now, before I get started on this Easter message, there are two words that I want to explain now because I don't want any interruptions later. One word is Calvary. Calvary, not cavalry. When I was a little kid, those two words meant the same thing. And if you're wondering, yes, I am embarrassed. Calvary and cavalry are not the same thing. I know that now. Calvary is the name of the hill outside of the city of Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified and died. Calvary comes from the Latin word for skull, Calvaria. Another name for this hill is Golgotha, and this word comes from the ancient Greek, Golgotha. They both mean skull. And cavalry can refer to soldiers who fought on horseback, and in modern times it can refer to soldiers who fight in armored vehicles. Okay? You will hear the word Calvary today. Calvary, the hill on which Jesus was crucified and died. Okay, the second word I want to explain is a word that is used to describe a master Jewish teacher, or a master rabbi. A master rabbi is called a rabboni. Rabboni, okay? Okay, today I'm going to read from all four Gospels and the book of Acts. And I took some liberties. I put you into the story. You ready? I want you to imagine that you lived about 2,000 years ago. And I want you to imagine that a man appeared in your neighborhood who claimed to be the fulfillment of the entire Old Testament, the Torah, the books of the prophets, and the Psalms. And you look at this man with a fuzzy eyeball because you think maybe he's lying. He said his name was Jesus. You think, Jesus? Jesus means he saves. Who's he gonna save? But he asks you to follow him. And you're curious, so you do. And you see him perform signs and wonders. You were at a wedding once and you saw him turn water into wine. And you saw him heal people from sickness and blindness, and even cast demons out of people. You once saw him feed 5,000 people with just 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. 5,000 people, you guys. And one night, you saw him walk on water. You even saw him bring your friend Lazarus back to life after he'd been dead for 4 days. You saw many of his signs and wonders. And you love following Jesus around. And oddly enough, one day, Jesus says that someday he would suffer very much and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he would be put to death, but that 3 days later he will rise to life. What? Why would he say that? That would never happen. And the more you hang out with Jesus, the more you grow to love him. He's just like a light. You really, truly love him. He's the best person you ever met. Then one day, you hear Jesus ask, "Who do men say that I am?" And your friends all say, "Well, some people say that you're John the Baptist, and others say you're Elijah. Oh, and others say that you're Jeremiah or some other prophet." Then Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And then you hear your friend Peter say, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow, the Son of God? You say to yourself, could it really be possible that I'm with the Son of God? I'm with God's Son? Then another day, Jesus said again, "The Son of Man will be handed over to men who will kill him. 3 days later, though, he will rise to life." But you just plain don't understand what this teaching meant, and also, you and the others were even a little afraid to ask him. And a little while goes by, and all you guys are walking along. You're on the road going up to Jerusalem. And then Jesus took everyone aside and he said, "Listen, we're going up to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will be handed over to chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and then hand him over to the Gentiles who will make fun of him, spit on him, whip him, and kill him. But 3 days later, he will rise to life." You still don't understand this teaching. Well, some more time goes by, and now it's around the time of Passover, and you're excited. Because, man, this event's even bigger than the Super Bowl. Jerusalem will be packed with people, and you're looking forward to all the festivities and celebration. And you're having Passover meal with Jesus tonight. And at the meal, Jesus says some things that you've never heard before, ever, at a Passover meal. He says that one of you at the table would betray him. What? That can't be. What's he talking about? Then, Jesus took a piece of bread and gave a prayer of thanks and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat. This is my body." What? Did he say, "This is my body"? What is he talking about? Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and everyone drank of it. Then Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Wow, what is going on? Why did he say all those things? Well, then you all sing a hymn together and go out into the Mount of Olives, which was right nearby. And then Jesus says he's going off to the nearby Garden of Gethsemane to pray. But he always goes off to pray, no big deal. And Jesus takes Peter and James and John with him. And you're tired, and it's late, so you just go to sleep. Next thing you know, you're awakened by a crowd. A crowd armed with swords and clubs. You're afraid, and so you do what all the others do. You all run away. And then you hear that on the next day, Jesus is going to be crucified on a cross. Because that's the way Romans did things. It was a brutal, agonizing form of execution. And even though you know that the crucifixion is happening, you don't go. You just can't watch. You feel bad about not going, but, well, only one of the disciples goes to the crucifixion, and it's John. And then, on the day of crucifixion, suddenly at noontime, there was darkness over the whole land. What is happening? Then, at 3 o'clock, you see the curtain in the temple tear from top to bottom, and the whole earth shook, and rocks split apart. What is happening? Something serious has happened, and soon you find out what it was. Jesus has died. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to Jesus' tomb while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to report to the apostles, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they laid him." So they ran to the tomb, and Peter ran faster, and he reached the tomb first. He bent over and saw the linen cloths, but he didn't go in. Behind him came Simon Peter, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the cloth which had been around Jesus' head. And that cloth wasn't lying with the linen cloth, but was rolled up by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw and believed. They still did not understand the scripture which said that he must rise from death. Then the disciples went back home. But Mary, she stood crying outside the tomb. While she was still crying, she bent over and looked in the tomb, and she saw two angels there dressed in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been, one at the head and the other at the feet. "Woman, why are you crying?" She answered, "They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they put him." And she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Mary thought he was the gardener, so she said to him, "If you took him away, sir, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and said, "Rabboni." "Do not hold on to me," Jesus told her, "because I have not yet gone back up to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them that I am returning to him who is my Father and their Father, my God and their God." So Mary Magdalene went and she told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and she related to them what he had told her. Now, before Jesus was taken up, he gave instructions by the power of the Holy Spirit to the men he'd chosen as apostles. For 40 days after his death, he appeared to them many times in ways that proved beyond doubt that he was alive. They saw him, and he talked with them about the kingdom of God. And when they were assembled together, he gave them this order: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift I told you about, the gift my Father promised. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." When the apostles met together with Jesus, they asked him, "Lord, at this time will you give the kingdom back to Israel?" And Jesus said to them, "The times and occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be filled with power, and you will be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up to heaven as they watched him, and a cloud hid from their sight. They still had their eyes fixed on the sky as he went away, when two men dressed in white suddenly stood beside them and said, "Galileans, why are you standing there looking up at the sky? This Jesus, who was taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way that you saw him go to heaven." Amen, you guys. Can you imagine what it was like to find an empty tomb? Can you imagine walking up and you think Jesus is in there and he's gone? Can you imagine what it was like to watch Jesus literally taken up as a cloud received him out of their sight? Wow. Happy Easter to all. He is risen. Now, you guys know that usually I end with scripture. Today, I'm going to end with an old-fashioned hymn. I love modern Christian music, and I also love the hymns. And sometimes, even though I've heard certain hymns 1,000 times, there are still times when the lyrics really hit home, and it's like I'm hearing these lyrics for the very first time and truly understand what they mean. And I'm just going to read the lyrics while I play the song in the background. If I sing the lyrics, which seems like a great idea at this moment, you might fire me. And I don't want to get fired. I love doing the podcast. I'm going to read all four verses, and I'm going to read the refrain each time, just like if you were singing it. And one more thing. This song track I have, it's beautiful, but when I got to the end, there was a sound effect in there that offended me. I didn't like it. I was either going to cut it out of the audio, or I was going to search for a different version of the song. But do you want to know what the sound effect was? It was the loud sound of a hammer hitting a nail over and over. I actually started looking for another version of this song when the question occurred to me. Why am I offended? Why don't I like to hear the sounds of the hammer hitting a nail over and over? Well, I can't describe it exactly, not fully. But I know the root of it is that because I sinned, then I should be the one getting the nails hammered into my body. It would be fair for me to suffer that punishment. And here's what's not fair. What's not fair is that Jesus got pierced with the nails that I deserve. Nails that we all deserve. I think that's why it's uncomfortable. But Jesus' love for us is so vast, so deep, so incomprehensible to our human minds. He voluntarily accepted that penalty for us. He got brutally beaten and crucified, and he died, and he was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again. And by God's grace, through your faith, you are promised everlasting life. Okay, listen to these lyrics of The Old Rugged Cross. And guys, just for the record, I left the nail sounds in the track. They make me uncomfortable. I really don't like hearing it. I know it's offensive. I'm just being honest. But Jesus is the only one who has the right to be offended. So I left them in. Okay, here's The Old Rugged Cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear little Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In that old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For it was on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To that old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.